Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio.
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us.
Jesus!
God and baby.
Jesus!
Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Your company that comes on Thursday nights in Alabama.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one bit cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. We are back today. We're going to be doing They Said It Couldn't Be Done Again. Now, and I am, of course, joined by my co-host, Stan. But Stan, before we get into anything, I just got to point out one thing. The internet lied again. They were in Smyrna, Delaware. If you look up on Smart Mark Video's actual site, if you look up on Cage Match, if you look up on, there was another one I looked it up on. All of them, including, as I said, the IWTV that's put on by Smart Mark Video, who actually filmed the event at the location in Smyrna, Delaware, all listed as Sewell, New Jersey. So only as I sat through the whole show going, this looks a whole lot like Smyrna to me, only towards the end do we finally get the payoff of them saying, right here in Smyrna, Delaware. And I go, I fucking knew it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. Good evening. And yeah, same thing here. It's actually quite funny you say that because I think I wrote it like three times. I'm pretty sure I'm in Delaware. And then at the very end, they do say, yeah, we're here in Smyrna, Delaware. I'm like, God, I knew it. It was funny because as I was watching and taking a break in between or whatnot, somewhere through there, Johnny Cashmere shared the video of him getting thrown through the bushes from a little while ago.
Couple
shows ago, and I'm like, that is the same place. Like, I was watching that video as I, you know, did other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that is what I'm watching on the other damn screen here. So, IWTV definitely says Sewell.
Yeah, and you know, I immediately knew as soon as I saw the back of the building, that's not Champs, because Champs is obviously taller to fit that wall in it. It can't be taller inside than it is outside, so that's not the building. And, you know, I've been there a lot of times, so I knew that building. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess they could have went somewhere else in Sewell. But, yeah, that sure looks like the shrubbery that Cashmere got launched into. And just the back of that building looks exactly like the one that Lobo and Gage were walking out of just a couple shows ago. So yeah, I it was very satisfying when I finally got the payoff of, yeah, they did this in Sewell, so now this pays off here in Smyrna, Delaware, or however they put it. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, same thing. Because especially when later in the night they go to that same, I think it's the same van that Briscoe climbed out of, and I'm like, fuck, they can't have the same van there, like in the same spot. But anyway, yeah. So we're in Smyrna, Delaware, and Jay, they said it couldn't be done again.
Yeah, again. I guess they said it. I mean, we weren't saying it up until this point, but I guess someone was saying it, and they fucking proved them wrong. So you got GQ versus Chris Cash versus Ian Knox in another three-way. This another kicking off the show match for these three. They get the fall-away slam from Knox. Real nice stalling suplex from Knox. He's just really dominating, showing lots of power to start this match. You know, the other two are a tag team, you know, so they're going to keep trying to team up on him and do all of that, but he's getting a really good you know, beginning of the match streak going with his strength. And then eventually it bounces out a bit. We get that flipping stunner by GQ off the corner. I'm pretty sure that's the move that Tanaka was doing, right? Like the diamond dust or something he was calling it.
Yeah, it was the diamond dust. And this is, you know, this is obviously the era that everybody's got a form of a cutter or a stunner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I thought he pulled it off well. And it looked really good, especially the camera angle that they happened to have for that particular one was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So what'd you think about the start of this match?
Yeah. So it started a match. You had the camera shot by GQ, and then Knox, like you said, with that delayed vertical suplex, again, a nice display of his power, because he's not going to be able to jump around with the other two that are in the match. So how does he differentiate himself? He holds a suplex for, you know, whatever it was, 15, 20 seconds. And then, you know, same thing you had there with the Hard Knox driver. It looks like a lot of other drivers, but, you know, it's the Hard Knox driver on Cash. And then I also like GQ was very comfortable on the top rope on the Swanton. Like he just goes up there and just stands like he's standing on the regular ground. So that was pretty neat to kind of see as well.
And that was a frogton.
Yeah.
He actually does a frog splash, you know, amongst it.
Yeah. That was cool, but he looked really, really comfortable up there. Like, yeah. You know, we have the Cash Flow to end it.
Yeah, not the greatest Cash Flow. Obviously, we saw a better version of this last month. But again, I mean, for them to hit as well as they did right out of the gates, you're going to miss some things. That's one of those moves. And it just didn't look as good as the previous one. But yeah, it was all good. Osborne comes out, squashes all three. Lobo comes out. Any thoughts on our early Osborne return?
What I got here is Lobo is on the mic. You can actually hear him, so that was good. He was talking about life isn't fair. Okay, great. And then this Osborne guy is just not getting over with the fans at all. Mm-hmm. He's having an interaction while Lobo is trying to speak. It almost looks like Lobo looks at him and kind of calls it quits early on his promo. And then Osborne goes out to confront the fan that didn't really seem to be too worried about it.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is with this, but you know, this is the shift we're getting. Whenever Zandig's not there, Lobo's going to run the show and, you know, take over and, you know, interject himself in matches and change matches and all that stuff. So we see this is kind of the trend that's going to go on. And this is going to be in Lobo's hands, this one.
And I don't know how long they keep it, but I do like the fact that they kind of keep them away from each other when Zandig's back in town. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping they keep that going, because it's a nice little twist on a very old story.
Yeah, like I said, this is kind of the beginning, you know, stages of a really, really good feud between Lobo and Zandig that plays out throughout 2002. And, you know, that's when it takes its, you know, final form. That shit really you know, speeds up to the point of just some absolute legendary matches and parts of that angle. But yeah, this is the beginning of a really cool thing that Zandig and Lobo do up against each other. So
yeah, no, we're excited to see it. And yeah, just Osborne still just doesn't do it for me. Like the outfit much better this time than last week, but still doesn't do it for me.
He totally thought about the fat fuck chance while he was getting dressed that morning.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But all right, so we got Towel Boy versus Jeff Rocker. A lot of posing to start the thing. I write here, a waste of my time. Fucking Rocker wins with a weird looking tombstone.
Yeah, and the best part of this match was one of the fans got a Rocker's mother sucks for steroids, which was about the best part of this entire match. Even the tombstone looked terrible, and then he sold the Nick anyway. You did have the Towel Boy moonsault to the outside with the asphalt there, where he does kind of shin kick Rocker right in the top of the head. But besides that, this match was here. It happened.
Yeah, and you know, that was another thing. It was like I recognized that half asphalt, half deteriorated asphalt gravel section. You know, like one side of the ring is like asphalt, and then it kind of deteriorates by the other side of the ring, like. That's the same shit they've been wrestling on. It's like, how do they have the same everything and somewhere in Sewell? It's like, this can't be fucking Sewell.
Yeah, this is when, like, to your point, this is when it started getting more, you know, we were solving the mystery already on our own and just didn't have them tell us yet.
Yeah. So next up, you got the Softcore Connection of Barr and Ty Street against Quiet Storm and Bar Cam, who's kind of renamed God's Cam by Pastor Jim. And Lobo comes out. He takes the mask off of Bar. Now Bar's hair, I mean, through the entire match, he's like Z Snyder. and at the end, you got the fucking Softcore Connection win. But that's all I got on this shit because, you know.
Yep.
Is that about it?
That's about it. This was a match is pretty much my notes, and Brian XL is not there. Yep. Also, Natasha's been missing the last couple of weeks, so I don't know where she's been. I know she's not with Pastor Jim anymore, but she hasn't been out for the last couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, she goes away at a certain point. But yeah, I mean, I just didn't understand so much of it. It's not my type of crew to begin with. Like, the entire match minus Storm, I could completely not see on any card, and I would never be like, hey, where'd that guy go? Like, I'd be fine. But, I mean, you know, like, Storm is used in the match, and he's kind of being, like, held out of the match for a while, and he finally gets, like, the hot tag. He gets some offense, and then he tags back out. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? He clearly let the weak link back into the match that he's about to lose, because there's no way this fucking guy is going to win the match, no matter what he just did in the ring. Like, I'm just like, well, fuck this. I mean, I already didn't like this, but like, I'm trying to follow this, and you just, I can't do this.
Fuck and it was this. A good then, hot tag too, right? You had the crowd popping everything, and then he just immediately tags out after two moves.
Yeah. And I mean, Storm attacks Barcam after the match. I guess Pastor Jim tells him to or something. Maybe you could tie that to he just wanted to throw him to the wolves and let him lose the match. But he didn't sell that hard enough. You know what I mean? Because you do the whole, you go for the tag and you throw your hands up and dodge the tag. You do that kind of stuff if you're trying to sell, like, the I'm not even helping you in this tag match. You know, you don't do a little bit of offense and tag back out. And, you know what I mean? It just didn't have the mannerisms of I'm stranding you in the match. So it just didn't make sense in the moment at all.
I didn't get that vibe at all. So yeah, to your point, I don't think that's what they were trying to do. I think, you know, many things you can speculate many different things, but clearly Storm didn't want to be too involved in this match. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. I didn't either, so I don't fucking blame him.
Yeah, it was a match. This happened. We can't say it didn't happen, but there was nothing about it that worked.
Yeah, and
that they like renamed the fucking bar cam guy God's Cam for a match and then squashed him. So that I guess he's back to bar cam and just it's just weird shit. So then you got the Hurricane Kid versus Ruckus. You know, this is one of those matches. You just get a lot of crazy shit out of the two of them. And it's funny because you don't see a ton of them wrestling each other over the whole time that Hurricane Kid is there. And Hurricane Kid will go away for a while after a good run that he has there. He teams up with Towelboy for a while and they do like a super heavyweights thing, which is really funny. His retirement match, he'll end up being against Ruckus. And you'll see so many of the same spots that we saw in this match. And you saw some of these spots in the last match that we saw against each other, you know, against that they had against each other. And you could just see the progression of how much better it gets as each time that you watch them wrestle. So you see like just how much more crisp each time that they do these crazy ass spots. It's just, they progress so much as wrestlers. It comes off so much different.
Yeah. So I wrote it down here for me. So Hurricane can go, but only if he's against Ruckus. Right, because every other match they don't let him do a damn thing, but he's decent in this. Like this is a good match. So you know, and I get that he's a squash guy with Towel Boy, but then when he gets in there against Ruckus, they give him so much burn. It's just odd. And I enjoy it when he's with Ruckus, but I wish they would let him do a little bit more when he's against everybody else.
Yeah, I think the spots he's booked into kind of keeps him in that position, you know, and they're not really putting him up to boost him up into like the juniors would have him wrestling Trent all the time. And, you know, I guess they're not really trying to do that with Trent, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it was just a booking decision on where they put him.
Yeah. It's just, when he goes against Ruckus, you're like, okay, I can get behind this guy. I can watch this guy. And then, you know, again, like I just said, then he's not against Ruckus and it's like, why does this guy suck so bad?
Yeah, he hits a tumbleweed to the outside and that's, you know, it's just that crazy dangerous shit where you see like, it just, I mean, that's gravel and street and it's just a problem. And he just dives out to it like it's no problem. So, I mean, crazy stuff like that. You saw that spinning face buster that he hit on him, Ruckus hit on Hurricane Kid. I mean, you know, I mean, they hit some real high impact moves. He does that move where he's going to go run off the wall. Hurricane Kid's going to do Ruckus's thing. He tells him, I'm going to go flip off the wall. And Ruckus just waits for him and just kind of just guides him into the wall.
Yeah.
And then he hits the flip off the wall. So it was like, you know, a little silly stuff, but in the same token, like, I mean, he takes a hell of a bump off the wall and then Ruckus hits the flip, so they do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, that wall, you know, definitely has more weight behind it than Hurricane Kid. So you know that felt something, right? That run into the wall definitely jarred him a little bit. I thought that was really, really, really cool. And then there was an extra flip in the Razzle Dazzle tonight from Ruckus. So he had an extra backflip as he was going, or back handspring, I guess. And then for me, I thought the chair spot, the whole sequence was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it was before that he hit that. He missed the diving headbutt and just lands just his entire chest across the chairs, off the top rope.
Yeah, Hurricane Kid crashes and burns, and and again. You know, you hear that, they know how to fall. How the hell do you fall on that? Like, you're diving in the air onto chairs. Yeah. And I know you get your hands up, but still, that's got to not feel good as you land chest first onto the chairs. Just wild move, wild to even put yourself up there to do it. But good on him. Wouldn't be me. And, and then Ruckus just waffles him with a chair. And then I'll give it back over to you to kind of bring us through the rest of the chair spots.
Yeah, that Trio Woe thing at the end there. I mean, that was that, you know, I mean, they did that sequence again a couple times. They did a bit of that the first time that they wrestled with that we watched, mm-hmm. where he was in the Trio Woe and hit that chair shot. this time, you know, he was trying to slide the chairs through his head. You know, he was winging the chairs at the post over there and trying to take them out, but he kept doing sit-ups and dodging the chairs. So then he tricked him and he just bashed him with the chair. And then he hits the, whatever you want to call that, Van Terminator. A poetic ruckus, I believe he calls it.
Yeah, he calls it poetic ruckus, where he goes from Venice to Sandy Hook with a flip onto the chair. So I thought that was really, really wild to throw the flip in. I don't think anybody else did. I don't think Van Damme did. And I'm
sure
Shane McMahon didn't.
Right.
So, putting that flip in is pretty crazy as well. And the camera angle was great. And, you know, again, I got to give Hurricane Kid and Towel Boy their credit here. They can take an ass whipping, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, guys like that in this company, you got to know, like, man, if I'm going to survive here, it's going to be a fucking brutal existence, because I mean, they got the Hate Club, who are just known for just squashing people in their way, you know, just for no reason. Just, yeah, you'll just take a couple enormous moves for no reason, not within your match at all.
Right. I think, you know, the other thing, it's from the match before, but we talked about it with Z-Bar, you know, Towel Boy as well in the match earlier. I know it's Glenn Osborne and nobody really cares, but he saves Rocker, and then he comes in there and he goes like he's going to choke slam Glenn Osborne. Osborne obviously doesn't go up, and then Towelboy just takes Osborne's hand and puts it around his neck. And again, I thought that was just fantastic. You know, that cartoon spot of
Totally.
Go ahead. And you know, again, for somebody to come out there and just say, "No, I'm going to put the other guy over," I think that's really cool. And how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a fun spot too. You know, obviously he goes for the choke slam, and then it's like, yep, nope. And he's like, oh god, just fucking get it over with. Just what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun. But again, they do work themselves into a really good, comedy tag team, and they do have that athletic ability. So then when you do match them up as a tag team against some of these other good tag teams, you get some really good shit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, excited to see that. I think these guys are working hard, and like I said, they're taking their ass beating, that's for sure. Each and every week they are.
Yeah. So next up, we got the Backseat Boys and Payne versus VD and Jay Briscoe. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so we got the we actually had that wrong, Jay. So it was actually what's his name? Where am I mixed up here? So Osborne out. Oh, that's right. Hurricane that gets Oz to put the hand on the neck for the good stuff.
Yeah, Hurricane Kid. Yep.
Yep. So Towelboy's still cool. Didn't mean to give him the credit for that, but I did like that. Sorry, I wanted to correct that and make sure we got it right.
Oh yeah, I had Hurricane Kid there. I didn't even catch that you said Towelboy, but
yeah, I did. Yeah, back over to you. Sorry about that. To the Payne and the Backseats, VD and Briscoe.
Yeah, so you got a good missile drop kick in the back to Eddie. Dahmer with the great spine buster on Payne. Dahmer hits that backdrop onto the chairs on the tailgate on Payne. And that, like, this again, another one of those real life things that just stand out where you're like, yeah, I think it, like, the tailgate of a truck is going to be pretty unforgiving. Not that the ground hasn't been, not that, you know, but it's like when you add this other element, it just gives this other weird kind of excitement to the bump where you're like, that's some shit I haven't seen before.
And it's, for me, it's that ability to put yourself in the spot in some form or fashion. Like, again, we've all picked up a tailgate of a truck before, dropped a tailgate of a truck. We've all, like, felt how it feels, right? So it just, I've never had a light tube hit me in the head, so I don't know if that hurts. But I do know the back of a truck would hurt like hell if I was landing on it with my kidneys into the back of it as I'm going through chairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought that was rough. Anything else from the beginning that jumped out at you?
Let's see here. We got Fuck Eddie in the Old School. the Cosmic Atomic is a nicely timed move there, where I think it was Kashmir gives the drop kick while Eddie was in some form of a submission move, and just, you know, you got the guy's face wide open there, so the timing's got to be perfect. Otherwise, you're going to smash his face. And I thought that was a cool ass move. And then Briscoe from the top rope to the outside. You know, again, this guy just puts it out there every single time. And yeah, he did dive on a bunch of people, and I understand that, but it is still out to that concrete, that asphalt.
Yeah. So yeah, you got the swinging neck breaker. The kick followed by the swinging neck breaker, I thought was a really cool combo by Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Briscoe gets the quick pin at the end, which is kind of just an out of nowhere pin. You know, it was a quick counter and, you know, unexpected. Briscoe gets the win.
Yeah, a couple other things in there. Briscoe had the DDT and then some form of a face plant forward. You can name it 63 different things, I'm sure. And that was a cool move where he was getting double teamed, but was able to reverse with that. VD uses that Bam Bam Ram. I think last week he said, you know, I don't know why they're using that. So Terry Bam Bam Gordy died in this general time frame here, about a month and a half earlier. So I guess it's a little tribute to the old school stuff with Dahmer.
Okay. Was,
I mean, if you call it a finish back in the day, but that was his finish back in the day. It was like a shoulder tackle. And then I like the way they did this with Briscoe in the roll up, right? I think it makes sense because now you just had that great match with him last show against the champion, and then you give him the win here, but in a sneaky way, right? Not that he cheated, he didn't do any of that, but he kind of snuck up on him, rolled him up real quick, and got the 1-2-3. So now you can set up a rematch where you didn't hurt Payne at all, because it's a tag match that he loses by a fluke. Mm-hmm. And then for me, you know, Payne on the mic sells that whole thing, which I thought he did a great job on the mic here. Maybe it's because I can hear somebody for once, but I thought this was really good mic work. You know, the basis of it was, hey, you got us, you got lucky, but guess what? We still have the belts. I'm still the champion, and these guys are still the tag champions.
Yeah, he pretty much just said, yeah, you didn't accomplish anything here, and, you know, good for your win, but it just means nothing, so.
Yeah, no, I thought this was good stuff overall. And again, I gotta say it, besides the old school, which is just me not liking a move, Eddie actually had a pretty good match here.
Yeah, not bad. Nothing that really jumped off the page oh, that was really fucked up because of him or anything like that. And I know you find it before I do, but I mean,
yeah,
nothing that jumped out to me.
No, and you said it earlier when watching Eddie at the very beginning, and a lot of the stuff that I bitched about was the slowness and the, you know, the missed timings. And you said it always looked like he had some form of an injury. It doesn't now, right? Even though he's selling the hand injury, it doesn't look like that, because even his discus palm strike was quick and fast around, not like the other time where he had to take four steps. So, you know, maybe unfairly when I started watching him, he was injured in some form or fashion and was just going through it because either, hey, he needed a paycheck, or two, he didn't want to come off the card, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's factual, but I could say that you can clearly see a difference, and it's not just his knowledge base. It's the speed and timing and everything looks like he belongs in there now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's good for the card. Cause again, we got an awesome tag team division. So as he blends into becoming more, you know, at least
workable,
workable in a match, and he doesn't ruin things. And that's why I was telling you too, like when it came to like the future matches, like I don't remember things just being terrible because of him or anything, because you have those future matches of the Hate Club and the back seats and stuff like that, where you're like, oh no, this went well. I mean, sure, you could pick things out, and I'm sure you will, but it's, you know, again, it didn't ruin anything for me.
Yeah, and whereas for me in the beginning, he was ruining matches, right? He was just not in the right spot, super slow, and he was just destroying matches and making them look awkward and making everybody in the ring look bad. That's not what he's doing now. So hopefully that continues as we move forward with Fast Eddie Valentine.
Yeah. So then we got the main event, which is Nate Hatred versus Wife Beater in a 200 light tube match Smyrna, Delaware.
Hold on. Go ahead. I counted. I took the time to count. It was 202.
All right. Well, shit. They got over that guarantee that they threw out there, the expectation that they painted for fans. So there you go. Yeah, so right off the bat, they just start beating the shit out of each other. They go from some strikes to Nate hitting the German on Wife Beater through the table. There's light tubes on the table. Almost everything I say going forward, there were light tubes under the person falling. Because I just have to keep writing on light tubes, on light tubes, on light tubes. And then I said, let's just point out from the start that they put light tubes under a motherfucker for everything that they did in this match. So, yeah, it was a crazy one. When you look at the time, it only went like, I think, 17 minutes or something. But, man, was it brutal.
Yeah, I can't even get started because this one was wild. We start with a German into a table, which is bad enough. Like you said, everything's got tubes under it. And these tubes are wild. They just tear people up. Like, first light tube across the back, and there's six or seven gashes on each guy's back. First one across the head, there is no blading, right? They're just cut from the damn light tubes. And the other thing is they're not stomping them. Like, it's just whatever's on the ground's on the ground. You're going to get slammed on it. And then I think the last piece for me is when they do break one, they don't take it and throw it outside the ring. They just put it, like, down in the middle of the ring. Like, we'll break that as we fall on it.
So yeah.
Just wild to me on the difference that you had at this time where it's still, again, experimental, right? And nobody's taking a ride in a helicopter and none of that other stuff. But just wild on what they're doing to themselves.
Yeah. I mean, right off the bat, Wife Beater takes an Irish whip into one corner with ton of tubes in there and then into the other corner with a ton of tubes there. Wife Beater power slams Hatred into tubes. Wife Beater breaks a ton of tubes on Nate after that. It's just like he just starts beating the shit out of him, won't let him up, and he's just burying him in tubes. And like you said, these things are slicing him up. And yeah, I mean, the mat's covered in tubes. Every time they fall on them, it's just more of that. And they're throwing in just random wrestling moves in there too. And again, every time they hit that mat, it's more and more cuts. So they're getting shredded working this whole match.
Yeah, it's there's a part later on, right? Or let me hit one thing first, and then I'll get the part later on. So like you said, Hatred just does a belly to belly. I think there was tubes under there, but the camera angle, you can see there's an inch of glass, and it's just wild. Like, that's got to be ridiculous to go through all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the suplex on tubes, Wife Beater hits, then he hits a gut-wrench suplex on the tubes. Like you said, Nate hits the belly-to-belly on the tubes, and then, yeah, obviously we have that big sidewalk slam through the waffle on the table to the outside. Just wild shit. So many tubes.
Yeah. So that one at least looked a little bit more set up than what we'll see in a minute. But again, that they went through that table so quick to the concrete. And it just, you could tell something happened to Hatred's elbow. Early in the match, you can tell something happened to his side. But, he's looking at his elbow and he's like, you can hear him saying fuck or whatever. And then he turns and like looks at the camera and his head is, I don't even know how to describe the blood that was on his forehead, on his face at that point. It was so thick and just
right.
Plasma-y, right? It was just nasty, like more than what you ever see in normal situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious full definition of a crimson mask. I mean, when it comes to it, I mean, he had that, and you're right. It looks just flat out thick in it, where it's just there's so much blood that it's not just a coating. It's so much blood, and it's just pumping out of his head because he's just bleeding profusely. And, you know, you have some of those like that. And that, yeah, that was one of those where Nate was just gushing. And, you know, I remember, like I said, when I was talking to him, and he said he could still remember just smelling the iron in, like, just in the air that it was there. Obviously, it was covered in his face, but, you know, just the amount of blood that was there and just bleeding off of him and wife beater and the mat, and just it was like a heavy smell to him.
Yeah, obviously, that was the other thing that you've seen a lot here is every pin on wife beater left a, you know, a crime scene behind. You know, every single pin, it was just a circle of red as he kicked out.
Yeah, so then they go for the fire thunder bomb off the corner to light tube table, and I mean, they get it to go, but man, that shit hit hard because the table didn't go quite as easy, and you know, with the glass and the light tubes, man, that was definitely a brutal landing.
Yeah, definitely a brutal landing. But what I have as a note here too is, you know, another table and a waffle. The table and the tubes are all jacked up. They're all over the place. And both guys just kind of look at it and say, fuck it, look safe. Let's just do this tombstone, you know, through the table and the tubes. And some of the tubes are falling off. The only bad part about that whole spot was Hartog blocks it on the hard cam, so you don't get a real good video of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that right there was definitely a nutty landing. And then Wifebeater hits the Chokenstein for the win.
Yeah, and again, another move that I wouldn't want to take because he just tosses Hatred into a whole bunch of broken glass on the ground for the win. I think it was a little bit of a flat finish here. I think the boys were tired. Clearly, you know, with justified reason. And mm-hmm. he's like, all right, let's just get the hell out of here. We've done enough. And I agree they did enough. So, yeah, a little bit of a flat finish. But, again, I wouldn't have done one of the moves in this match, including I wouldn't have been the referee slamming my hand on the damn mat with all that glass on it either. I know he was taking some heat from Love Shack. But for the final three count, he does smack the mat. Nope, I'm good. I'm good. We'll still do the air counts.
Yeah. Yeah, but – I mean, I've never liked the Chokenstein because to me it was always too difficult a move to pull off depending on your opponent. You know, like how many times he wrestled Zandig? You know how terrible the Chokenstein has looked in almost every one of those matches that he hit it? I mean, it's for Zandig to get his body, you know, it's a Baldo bomb. So it's like for him to get him up and over that way, it's just a lot, you know. It's to me, it's not a super easy move for everybody to pull off. So some of them are going to look kind of lame. And if that's your finish, especially the wife beater after he's going to go through absolute war in match. So when he hits his finish, I just want boom, devastation and gone. You know what I mean? And that is like a very iffy move. I've seen it look good in some instances. Absolutely. We'll definitely see some great ones, but it's just like a hazardous kind of move. And I mean hazardous just in the sense of like pulling it off, making it look good, and going home with the match being exactly how you wanted. I just think it's a little too problematic is I think where I was going.
Yeah, I think it's another one of those where you have to be able to hit your finish on everybody. And that's a finish that looks really cool against somebody that can take it. But to your point, bigger guy, it's hard to get that rotation. And I mean, I think that's a little bit of what you've seen here. Plus, again, very, very reasonably, you know, Hatred's exhausted here, so he's probably not giving him much help.
Yeah, I mean, this one didn't come off bad at all. I mean, I don't think this one came off bad at all, but sometimes after a match that was this brutal, just, you know, to pull that off, you don't start going into your head, well, maybe we should put some more tubes down, or maybe we should, we just got to get this thing done. You know, if this is the move I'm winning with, goddamn, we just did a whole lot with this match. Let me just get this done, you know? So I just think if the move was a little bit easier to accomplish, maybe you do work that into your final spot with the tubes and the this and that, and it's not quite as flat, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I disagree a little bit. I didn't think the Chokensteiner looked great here for the two guys doing it, sure, but I thought it was a little bit, again, lackluster, and especially after everything else you've seen. You know, and I think that plays into it, to your point, right, of they just did a lot of stuff to each other, and that's the finish. You know, for me, I want to see a little bit more. You know, I thought the Falcon Arrow or the Tombstone or whatever the hell that was supposed to be off the ropes was a hell of a lot more visually appealing move that got a two count.
And, you know, devastating for sure, yeah. I mean, I would just shift where, you know, the beginning of that match had light tubes under every single spot. Just move where the light tubes start into the end of the match instead of the beginning. You know, just shift them like 3-4 moves over so they carry from the middle to the end instead of the beginning to the almost end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But great match overall. Again, these guys.
Yeah, fucking war. Insane match. It's nitpicking to even go at this point.
Yeah. Absolutely insane match. Things that, you know, most human beings wouldn't put themselves through. And, you know, I will be most human beings in that sentence. Again, that's just a lot of glass and a lot of tore up
absolutely.
Skin.
Absolutely. Legendary match.
And, yeah. So good stuff. Overall, I thought this was a very solid show. The opening matches aren't as good as they were a couple of weeks ago because, again, you have more guys on the card and, you know, some guys that maybe aren't fully ready yet. But overall, I thought this was a really good quick card. I think it was an hour and 40 minutes or something like that, so it wasn't too long. I'm sure if you were there and them setting up the light tubes, it was, you know, 2.5-3 hours. But Mark takes care of that for us and gives us the condensed version. But overall, I thought this was a decent show.
Yeah, it definitely had its, big finale with that main event. Again, absolutely legendary. 200 light tubes were only done in the States so many times. As far as CZW goes, I believe this was just the second time they did it, first being Gage and Wife Beater. And, good stuff before that. Again, great to have the back seats back in the mix. And we're off to the next month will be Sewell again, and that will be Enough is Enough. Yeah, maybe. No, I was there at this one. This one was definitely Sewell. I remember this being a fun show. We're going to have to watch it again so we could really see every bit of it. But I remember this being a fun show, so I'm looking forward to watching this one again. And that one will be, let me see, this was the 22nd of September. That one will be the 29th of September. So, yeah, we're still up. We're up to third show in September. So this is the stuff that I meant that, like, you know, when we in the 2001, we really have to power through this year because, you know, they go back to pretty much monthly shows after that. And then it's like, all right, you don't have three shows in a month to even get through it. It takes quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think the three shows a month are what's hurting a little bit of the undercard booking, right? You know, it's just, okay, guys, go out there. We got to figure out the main event. Because that is a lot. You know, three shows in 1 month is a lot to book every match for or every wrestler for in every match. And have it have a storyline that's consistent and flows without getting stuff done too quickly, right? It's not like they have pay-per-views to blow off. They do in the Best of the Best and Tournament of Death and Cage of Death, but a little bit different way of looking at those as pay-per-views.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so let me see. We got Enough is Enough. We got End Justice for All. We got Showdown in Sewell. And then we got Cage of Death. So we got three shows, and then we got Cage of Death 3, and we are officially in Philly.
Yeah, no, so it's moving quick, moving really quick. So, you know, with that said, Jay, anything you watch on TV last night? Anything, any kind of popular things on TV?
Popular it was. That it was. So the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson thing happened, and I guess... you know, I mean, they sold it, man. They sold it. We got a 58-year-old man doing 58-year-old man things. And they sold the shit out of that. And Mike afterwards even said, I'll do the shit again. Which you would think after that performance, you would just be like, yeah, no, I overestimated what I could do. He's like, no, the amount of money I got paid for this shit here, I would definitely do this again.
You know? I'll come back and throw 29 punches over 16 minutes. Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'll hit a guy 19 times in the entire fight.
I mean, for me, I think let's start before that, and let's start with what saved the night for Netflix, because Netflix had a bad night last night. That girls' match saved the night for Netflix.
Yeah, but Amanda Nunes got absolutely robbed. I mean, her face had like an enormous fucking gash in it, and she won insane amount of rounds. Regardless, she was getting hit with headbutts to the point where they took a point away from the girl.
Yeah.
And I mean, to come out at the end of the fight and somehow still give the fight to the girl who lost the point because of this infraction, you could see the result of the infraction on her face. And she just battled like a warrior. And I mean, the commentators and everything were shitting all over the decision. Like they were like, no fucking way. Like how? I don't even know how. Like and unanimous, just, I don't think that was right at all.
Yeah, I think Soriano is the young lady from Puerto Rico. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a mixed consensus.
Serrano,
there.
Amanda Serrano, that's right, right?
Serrano, yeah, that's it. But
Serrano, I thought
little,
Nunez.
That's an MMA fighter,
right? Yeah,
MMA. I think there was a little bit of mixed consensus. I think it was, and maybe it was Lennox Lewis, but I think it was Roy Jones that was more saying both of them were colliding together. But, you know, then again, Roy Jones in the Mike Tyson fight is arguing with the guy about his mouthpiece when Tyson's chewed on gloves forever, including the match against Roy Jones, you know, 2 years ago.
Right. And then they ask him about him, and he's like, oh, I've always done that.
Yeah.
Roy, I just wanted them to shoot to Roy's face real quick. Yeah. As soon as he said that, just like, quick camera shot to Roy. Roy just looking like, uh-oh.
Yeah, so I mean, I was buying Roy Jones, and then that happened. I'm like, I don't know if he's been hitting the head too many times, and maybe he was telling me the wrong thing, because, you know, he seemed to think that they were just the southpaw versus, you know, right-handed natural. You know, the headbutts are a part of that a little bit, is what, you know, what they were – he was at least trying to get at. But that cut over her eye, I thought the young lady's lid was going to fall off in the middle of that match. Like, that was wild that they let them continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, after I started watching it, once like you saw that eye opened up and the being, you know, calling her out for headbutts, I started really watching her style. And I think her whole style is getting away with headbutts. And they said it, she's opened chicks up in all sorts of other fights. And like, that's like kind of her thing. She doesn't care. But the way I was watching her style, she would either take a punch and drop her head forward and take a step forward, or she'd throw a couple punches and then drop her head and take a step forward. And however they reacted to that, if they counterpunched while she was taking that step forward, they caught her head. If they, you know, continued forward after they got that first hit or two, they caught her head. So like it was like a defense thing that kind of backed her opponent off, because every time they tried to take that next step, she was already there with her head. And I think she was taught that way, because it just, she was instinctively doing it after every action, whether she was being hit or hitting. And it was just every time. And you just watch her dip her head one step, dip her head one step. And yeah, if you move towards that, that's what was going to happen. So yeah, I guess in a way they were both moving there, but she was setting herself up to be in the spot if you came at her.
Yeah. I can never get the guy's name. He did the WWE thing. I always want to call him Morello, but I think it's Morale, whatever his name is. Threw in the Jesse Ventura line of, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So, you know, I thought that was a good line, because, you know, if the ref's not taking points away, then it is what it is, right? I'm a big believer in you play within the rule book, and you stretch that rule book as much as you can until you get in trouble for it. And that's in all sports. And I think she did that. And, you know, that, and I think her uncle, father, brother, whoever that corner man was for her, like, everybody, when we talk about promos, just go listen to that dude, because he was cutting some promos out there. Said she's a nice girl, but she got a big ass head.
It's crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was lighting her up. He's like, yeah, you know, she brings that head, that big old head, yeah, right on, and just, she swings that thing like a weapon. Yeah. Big old melon head she got on her.
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, shit. Right. Oh, yeah. Shit. I was waiting for her to pop up, like, you know, I won, motherfucker.
Yeah, because he's just tearing her up over the loud over the building mic, and she's like, you know, right across the ring celebrating.
Like, yeah, it was kind of weird because they went in, hugged, like, oh yeah, great fight, and then backed up three steps and started burying her for a fair unfair fight, and it was just like, well, then why'd you dap her up a second ago?
Yeah, like, I thought they just got over it. I seen the same thing. I thought Serrano was like, yep, okay, cool, it's over. It is what it is. And then all of a sudden they put the mic in front of both of them, and not both of them, the girls, but Serrano and then whoever her corner person was, and they just buried her.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, all right. Yeah, because they're like, well, you want a rematch, right? Because, like, obviously, like, you know, everyone thinks you won the – the commentators think you won. The fans think you won. They're like, oh, yeah, without the headbutts. No headbutt clause. I'm pretty sure there's already a no headbutt clause.
Yeah, there's a whole rule on that. And again, and he even went in on the referee. He's like, yeah, with a better referee, one that knows what the hell he's doing. I'm like, okay, yeah. But yeah, Netflix needed that, because between the streaming issues, which produced some incredible memes, or GIFs or whatever's, you know, reels, yeah, whatever you want to call them. Just some incredible stuff on the internet last night. My favorite is, you know, they got two NFL games on Christmas. And so there's been a bunch of different reels going around. You know, if this was the, you know, 58 Super Bowl and it's the touchdown at the last seconds, but buffers right before the ball's caught, like, this is great. Just absolutely great.
Yeah, I hope they get their shit together before Christmas, because they got two big games lined up, and you know, I'm a fucking football fan. So as much as I was annoyed last night, I can give a fuck about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson at 58 minus, you know, against football in December.
Yeah. No, agreed. Yeah. And good games, like you said.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, you know, the streaming was a problem. It looked like you were watching it. So another one I seen, so I, you know, I don't know who put it, but don't want to steal the credit for it. But somebody said, this is like watching Mike Tyson's punch out with the graphics Netflix is giving us right now, which again made me laugh. Yeah. Because I don't know about your screen, but my screen was scrambled almost the entire night. It was worse than standard definition.
Yeah, I kept getting the little wheel that would tell me 25%, yep, and then I'd back out, and if I started it again, it would go all the way, and then I'd get like 5 minutes, and then it would be like, huh, freeze that up. Every once in a while, it would just freeze up and the audio would keep going. And yeah, I'm like, well, at least I know what's going on. So I rocked that for a few minutes. Like, yeah, I mean, I dealt with a lot of bullshit, but again, I didn't care that much. I think that just the traffic overall, they sold the shit out of this fight. And it's not like they had to actually sell a $50, $60, $70 fight, $100 fight. Anyone who had Netflix can watch this. So I'm pretty sure that brought in like all of Netflix, and you know, anyone who has it had someone in the house that was using the account for this fight. So it's probably just about all the accounts that they had, which is an enormous number, I'm sure. And it just locked up. I don't think the NFL is going to be the same.
I don't know. We'll see, right? I don't know what normal Christmas ratings are.
Yeah,
You know, Christmas Day ratings, but you know, Thanksgiving Day ratings are enormous, right? So, and I know they don't play every Christmas, and that's why it's a little different. But the other piece of that is typically you have people over on Christmas, so you won't have every, you know, if you got 10 families together for Christmas, let's just say you're only using one Netflix account, maybe two in the house instead of all 10 people having it on.
I mean, it's going to have huge ratings, but like up against Tyson versus Jake Paul, like this was like a big, big event, you know, like I think this brought in people who didn't really care about sports, who were, you know, at the party or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I mean, it could be the same with football. It could be the same thing where it's a house full of people and not everyone cares. But I just thought this was enough of a spectacle where it brought in a bigger number than a possible football.
Yeah, hopefully we get to see. Hopefully they come out and eventually tell us what, you know, what the viewership was on the night of the fight, right? Because I don't think it tells you anything if they tell you how many people watched it, you know, over the next 3 weeks.
Right.
I want to see, you know, who watched it between that, you know, let's call it, 8 o'clock to 3 a.m. range, to give the West Coast some time to get on it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would think with the amount of money in Netflix, regardless, it is November 15th when they have this issue. And it is very well known that there were issues and it didn't go well. So as far as the streaming goes, they know, they're well, well informed that this didn't go well. Whatever they got to do, whatever kind of extra shit that they have to do, they have over a month. You know, I don't think they're going to do nothing and go, hopefully next time works. You know what I mean? That's what I do on the fucking Blog Talk Radio. I don't think Netflix has the same capabilities that I do, but.
Yeah, you know. No, we'll see. But even more than that, right, from a big event standpoint, they had a lot of bobbles and a lot of, you know, let's just go into the big one. I didn't even see Mike Tyson's ass last night.
I mean, that's kind of, once you sent me that, that's when I knew he lost. I was just like, that gives me a bad vibe. And, you know, the I love you and a kiss on the cheek and then turn around and here's my ass. And it's like, hold up, man. First off, you were just selling me on that you're in that fucking mood again and you're ready to kill people. And now I'm watching you just like graciously ask like Evander Holyfield how his birthday is going. And fucking hug Lennox Lewis and fucking like you're just standing there in your underwear addressing people in the locker room. Like, it's just retarded. Like, I don't know, like, what I'm supposed to actually believe as far as this thing goes. Once I started seeing the silliness of that, I started to go like, I don't think he's in that mode. I don't think that Tyson still exists. And for him, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think that Tyson still exists, and I do think there was a moment very early in the fight where he ducked Jake Paul right, and he could have came up and smashed him, and he didn't. And that's the moment that I knew, okay, this isn't exactly what they said it was.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that Roy was, you know, right about is he was calling it out right from the start. Oh, I don't like the way his legs look. And I really didn't see what he was seeing because I saw him making these little jump moves and, you know, using his, you know, side to side movement. I saw him hopping around. I saw him doing things, you know, to evade a little bit. Obviously, he wasn't dynamic in any way last night, but it just didn't look like, oh, he's flat footed and can't really move. He didn't look that creaky, but Roy was definitely seeing something right off the bat that there were moves that he should have been able to make that he couldn't. And it definitely proved to be an issue over the course of the fight. And yeah, I just think this was oversold. You know, we were sold something that wasn't possible. It just wasn't possible for Tyson to go out there and just, oh yeah, he's still a badass. Like, oh yeah, really? Cause you know, he's been a chill ass dude for a lot of years now. And he's 58 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an injury on his, he's got a knee brace on. It's just, yeah, they sold this. And at some point or another, Jake Paul decided not to knock him out too. I
appreciate. I think Jake Paul did a nice job there. Cause I don't know that he would have knocked him out, but I do think he could have lumped him up really fucking bad last night if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think if he pressured him, there's a chance he could have knocked him out, which is not what I felt before the match. But when you saw the way that Tyson was getting around and his limited ability, and even, you know, I just didn't see the immense power that we were expecting out of Tyson to just still exist somehow or any of that. And I just, Yeah, I didn't see it there, and I thought that if Jake really pushed the issue, he probably could have did damage to him. And yeah, I totally respect that, you know. But it just puts the fans in a losing category, because you know, when you come in, you're like, yeah, I hope this happens, I hope that happens. Paul saying he's going to knock him out, Tyson saying he's going to knock him out. You're like, yeah, I hope Tyson knocks him out, and this and this. And by the end of the match, you're just like, oh, I hope he takes mercy on him. And it's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here, man. This is bullshit. Why am I? And Tyson's like, I'll do this shit again. He's like, well, you know who ain't going to fucking watch it? You know? Because that'll be me and a whole lot of America too, bro. You didn't sell another fucking fight, whether you think you did or not.
No, like I said, they should have used my out that they had. That's what I would have done. The one I text you. So for me, if you watched last night, the 10 second wood sounded like a bell. And I would have WWE'd this shit up, and I would have told Jake Paul, let Tyson get one good shot to your chin and you just fall, and we set up the rematch, baby. So right when that, you know, right when you hear it and it sound like the bell was going off, let Tyson just get one good right, I would have sold the shit out of it. I would have made me double the money. But again, they didn't, and that's where we're at. And you know, Tyson called out Logan Paul, who looked at him and said, "I'd kill you," which was just fucking wild.
Yeah, like what the fuck is going on? And like, who is Tyson? Who can they possibly put Tyson up against that would be like that? Yeah, you would buy you would buy, that you would be like, oh, okay, maybe that'll be something. Yeah, I didn't see anything that's worth of, yeah, like, I think, you know, now we're celebrity boxing territory for sure.
Yeah, and I think the only thing he has a chance to get into the ring in anything is AEW or WWE, which he has a relationship with both of them, right? So, you know, that's about the only ring he should be getting into, because you can still sell it a little bit there.
Yeah, but you got to go away for a bit. I mean, sure as hell didn't sell a right hand that's going to be dropping wrestlers all over a card right now.
Yep.
You know, we know who you are. We know what you've done. But, like, at the moment, we're not super sold on your right hand. I mean, like.
Well, I would be if I seen him more than, like, 7 times.
Yeah, I mean, well, you would have if he believed it.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a bad night for Tyson, bad night for Netflix.
I mean, like I said, I think he made $20 million, so I don't think it was a bad night for Tyson at all. I mean, no injuries, he didn't look bruised up, he didn't really, you know, it's like, hey man, if we pencil one more loss in your record, you want 20 mil? Shit. Make the round shorter, all right? And that's it. I mean, I can't call it a bad night for Tyson. It was a bad night for the fans. That was it.
You remember the you know, what would you do type questions when we were younger? And that, you know, one of the big ones would, you know, would you take a punch from Mike Tyson for $1 million? I think at this point I would say yes. I think it's like, yeah, you know what, I would now, if I was able to at least a little bit defend myself. But
I mean, if you could pick one of those 19, then
yeah.
But if he's got something else that he pulls out for that challenge, then I don't know about that.
Well, I'm just saying, what I seen last night.
Like those training videos. Like if he could hit one of those training video punches on you for the, you know, and I don't know.
How am I supposed to believe those training videos aren't fast forwarded a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. They definitely could have AI'd the shit out of that thing. Tyson was sitting on the couch and he's like, yo, have me hitting a two-piece right now.
Yeah. Because that did not look like what I watched last night, that's for sure.
No.
But yeah, I think, you know, again, Netflix needed that girls match. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster for Netflix. Now, the good thing is nobody's paying extra money. I don't think it brought in that many subscribers, so I'm not quite sure why Netflix does this. And what the benefit of it is, but, you know, I guess if it pulled in some subscribers, as long as it pulled in, you know, $40 million worth, okay.
It seems like the wave of the future, which, I mean, I'm all for. I mean, if they're going to really just be like, all right, all the major shit is going to wind up on a streaming service, and part of the streaming service is just, that's included. That's great. because you know, I never thought we would get a day where the WWE was just on a streaming service and you could watch WrestleMania for no money, like no additional fee to the streaming service. And they did that for years after taking in $70 for WrestleMania or whatever it was. You know, once you're taking in that money year after year after year, and then you just go like, all right, no, we'll go on the streaming service. They'll pay us X amount to be part of their thing, and it'll be all worth it. I mean, shit. As a consumer, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what it is anymore, honestly, but it's less than $10 a month. And you get every pay-per-view, like you said. You get every, I mean, and a bunch of original content. So, you know, from a Netflix standpoint, right, same thing here. Like, you'd be crazy not to pay the $19 or whatever it is if they're going to start putting all these live events on there.
Man, fuck yeah. Yeah, good shit. We will see what goes on their Christmas broadcast with the football over there.
Yeah, they got the football, so we'll see. We'll see if it plays better. Hopefully it does. I don't know. My phone when I was watching before told me that the Concrete Jungle or whatever they're calling the H2O show tonight started at like 5. So I don't know if that's already one off or whatnot, but I'll be checking that out. And then tonight you got John Bones Jones back in the ring, but he's kind of facing like a 10 seed or something like that. So we'll see what happens there. But we got that as well in Madison Square Garden.
All right. Yeah, I might watch the brick match if it's still on or if it happened. I don't know. At some point, I'll probably turn that on. I'm not sure if it's going to be tonight or not. I would almost rather just get into the Enough is Enough card at some point tonight, you know, because that's kind of where my head's at, is on to the next with the CZW shows and just keep moving forward. So our next one is Enough is Enough, and we'll be hitting that one and getting back at you.
Soup.
Peace.